Name your own horrors. As they stepped into the ship's open hatch, the boat Kung gunned his craft and headed back across the lake. Looks like the only way off is up, said Kin. I wonder what frightened him.
Me,
said Marco, and walked aboard soundlessly, then hissed and crouched into a fighting stance. A shape lurched towards them. Racial memories told Kin to run and climb a tree. The thing bearing down on them could only be intent on clawing gashes in soft membranes and gouging with those fangs. Racial memories were behind the times as usual. Kin grinned politely. The Shand could just about stand in the high corridor without its tiny ears touching the ceiling, which meant that it was almost 3 metres high. It was, though, holding the knee-sagging, self-effacing posture that Shandy always adopted inside the artifacts of smaller races, as if in terror lest they accidentally eat someone. Typically, she, was as broad as she was high, with wide arms ending in calloused knuckles that could double as another pair of feet. There was an intelligent bear's face, but it was a bear with binocular vision and a domed skull and several walruses in its ancestry. It had 2 tusks, said to have been used originally for scraping mollusks from the beds of freezing oceans, now as useless as the vermiform appendix, and carved into status-denoting shapes. Its snout.
If you have clout, Flinift,
she lisped reproachfully. There was something altogether familiar about some of those tusk carvings. Kin stuck her fingers in the corners of her mouth for tuskal effects and tried her shandy.
I am relative almost parched and dry, and the Kung is small stain go far, she spat. I greet you in all Greece, O Shand of the lower Conwexi Delta Moraine region, unless I am very much mistaken.
I congratulate you on your mastery of the speech, said the Shand graciously. My name is 56 syllables long, but you may call me Silver. Are you coming to the flat world? Is the Kung dangerous? He looks uneasy.
I think it's because he can't understand Shandy. On the other hand, all Kung look uneasy. It's probably something to do with the flash tides. This one's human, by the way. Don't press the point.
What are you talking about? Marco asked suspiciously.
By the time Silver had led them into the ship's observation cabin, they had reached a compromise. Kin and Marco spoke to Silver in allspeak, which the Shand understood, but, because of her tusks, could not speak. Silver spoke in Shandy, which she could pronounce, and Marco could not understand, and Kin translated into allspeak for Marco. Eventually, it was established by careful retranslation that Silver was a sociologist, comparative historian, linguist, and meat animal herder.
All of them? Asked Marco.
I once knew a Shand who was a lift attendant, biochemist, and seal hunter, said Kin.
I got here yesterday, said Silver. I was working on Prequidac when this man...
We know him, said Kin. What did he offer you?
I do not understand, said Silver blankly.
Bait, said Kin, to go with him to the flat world.
Oh, I see. Nothing should he have done.
Kin translated. Marco stared at the Shand in astonishment, then snorted and wandered off into the depths of the ship.
There is something familiar about your name, said Silver to Kin.
I wrote a book called Continuous Creation. Silver smiled politely.
Did you?
Marco had disappeared. The two females took a stroll through the donut hull. With every step, Kin became more uneasy. This was a strange ship. It had been converted to a freighter. There were 4 staterooms. The rest of the Taurus was fuel tank. The ship had been designed to be a rich idiot's toy. Only rich men and spies used ships that could stagger out of a gravity well under their own power. Consider. There was a line on every useful world, and once a